Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the address today is another reading from the ones that we read a few minutes ago. I'm going to read that to you now from Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, make us holy in the truth. Your word is truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, we adore and magnify your glorious name. So we say or sing in the liturgy week by week. Dear friends in Christ, as you gather in worship, there is so much more going on than only what you see. You gather with the angels, with the archangels. Heaven and earth intersect and overlap. This is a wonderful mystery, one that can bring an entirely different perspective to our worship and great encouragement to our faith. Most of all, because the ministry of the angels points us not to themselves, but to Christ, to the Lamb who was slain. And so today on this festival of Saint Michael and all angels, we take time to simply bask in the glorious mystery. Therefore, with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven. Our text from Revelation is one place where this unseen part of worship is revealed to us. John says, "Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands." What we have here is a heavenly vision that John is given. What does Christian worship look like from a heavenly perspective? Well, it's pretty interesting to say the least, isn't it? There is a throne. That's where God sits. To be more specific here, God the Father. And around the throne, there are several different groups. The living creatures, the elders, and the angels. Now, if you go back a chapter, you find out a bit more about these groups. You find out there are four living creatures and there are 24 of these elders. Here's how the four living creatures are described. They are full of eyes in front and behind. One is like a lion, one like an ox, one with the face of a man, one like an eagle in flight. Each of them with six wings. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So who are these living creatures? Well, one of the traditional interpretations of these is that they are the archangels, the commanders, the chief angels, with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven. It's interesting, by the way, that here are these angels who live in perfect joy, and they also live in hierarchy and order. There's these archangels, these living creatures, And they have this responsive liturgy going on with the 24 elders. Who are they? Well, the most common understanding of this group is that because there were 12 of the tribes of Israel for the people of God of old, and there are 12 apostles for the people of God in the New Testament, here is a depiction of the whole people of God, old and new, living and dead. These are the 24 elders. And then there is this other group around the throne, the angels. How many of them are there? 4 living creatures, 24 elders. You may think 64 angels, or maybe a bit bigger, 100 or 200. But we aren't even close in the vision. There are myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. I didn't even know what a myriad was. I had to look it up in the dictionary, and it said it could mean 10,000, or it could simply mean a number that cannot be counted. That's the sense. The magnitude of this joyful heavenly choir in which we are caught up is beyond anything we can imagine in this world. It reminds us of that parallel text that I read with the kids. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. Now, at the beginning, I said that this mystery of joining with the angels can be and is for many people a great encouragement in faith. But why? Why is that line in the liturgy so dear to many people? Well, there's different reasons, but I'll give you one main one today. It's the simple reality of participating in something so much bigger than our own little worlds. Some time ago, I read an interesting article in the newspaper about this craze called pub choir. Maybe some of you have heard about this. I think it started in Brisbane and since spread around the country. And the idea is that basically for a fee, they invite people to pack themselves into a pub with hundreds of strangers. And over the course of an hour and a half, they learn a song together in 3-part harmony. And then they perform it together just to each other in the pub. And it took off. Who would have known that in our day and age, something like this would appeal to people? But they had to find bigger venues. They couldn't fit everyone in. What's going on there? Even at a human level, there is something about gathering with others to sing and rejoice. It uplifts the human spirit. We can transpose this into the life of the church. You know this experience as well, many of you. People go away to events like our general synods or conventions, and you ask them when they come back, what was the best part? And they don't flinch. So often, it's the worship. It's the singing, they say. Joining together with hundreds of other Christians to sing thanks and praise to God, it lifts our spirits, encourages our hearts. And so how much more to know that whenever we gather, we join with 10,000 upon 10,000 of angels in joyful praise. You are part of something so much bigger than yourselves. But then there is something different, something radically different from the pub choir phenomenon. Because the problem of singing just in a pub choir, I would suggest, is that people want to express their joy in song, but ultimately there is no object beyond themselves. That joy is a closed circuit, if you like. But as we join with the heavenly worship of the angels and the archangels, the question is, to what or to whom does this worship direct us? The text says that these myriads of angels all sing together, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." The angels sing of the Lamb. The angels direct us to Christ. The angels' worship is so full of joy because it's all about Jesus and what He has done in His death and resurrection. Ultimately, the festival of Saint Michael and all angels is another festival of Christ. And that is no small thing. Because angels are such awesome beings and such glorious parts of God's creation that there has always been a temptation for people to focus on them and even to worship them rather than joining with them in the worship of Christ. So, for example, if you go down to any bookstore here in the city and you look on the religion and spirituality shelf, what will you find? You'll find maybe a Bible, and you'll find a book about atheism, ironically, and then you'll find, most likely, a number of books on angels. It's quite interesting. Not so much from a Christian perspective, but in the more New Age scene. And if you read these, which I did once upon a time to see what it was all about, you'll find that they fall into this trap where the angels take center stage and they often come very close to worshipping angels themselves rather than letting the angels direct us to Christ. In fact, we have warnings about this in the Bible itself. In the book of Colossians, St. Paul warns against the worship of angels. And even in the book of Revelation, from which our text is taken, towards the end you have another scene which implicitly brings the same caution. Here's what it says. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. The angels are servants. The angels sing of the Lamb. The angels direct us to Christ. And there's another theme connected with this in the New Testament. Quite a mysterious thing. About how the angels are depicted as having a very keen interest in God's plan of salvation, but it is also somewhat hidden from them. So, for example, in 1 Peter, you have this little discussion about salvation, of the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories, and then at the end of the paragraph there's this intriguing little line. That these are things into which angels long to look. Christ's death and resurrection for our salvation are things into which angels long to look. What God has done and is doing and will bring to completion in Christ, it captivates the angels. It's as if they are heavenly spectators to God's grand drama of salvation. And they are on the edge of their seats in joyful anticipation of the redemptive work of Christ. This theme is picked up in the last hymn that we'll sing in today's service. "'Tis mystery all, the immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depths of love divine. 'Tis mercy all. Let earth adore, let angel minds inquire no more." In our text today then, it is as if the angels' joyful anticipation and longing to inquire into this mystery of salvation, it explodes into this eternally joyful chorus of praise and thanksgiving as they see the mystery revealed. This is also why Jesus can say that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents, that is, over one who turns to Christ and receives this salvation. The angels point us to Christ, the Lamb who was slain for you. And so he is worthy to receive all the power and the wealth and the wisdom and the might and the honor and the glory and the blessing. Therefore, with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, we adore and magnify your glorious name. When you gather for worship, there is so much more going on than meets the eye. And so when you feel a bit flat in your Christian faith and worship, maybe when life seems a bit dull and lacking in wonder, close your eyes for a moment in worship. Remember the angels. See them in their myriads and myriads, in their splendor and glory. You are caught up in something so much bigger. And for all eternity, the song is of Christ, the Lamb who was slain for you. In the name of Jesus, Amen.